Hi, I'm Jeremy Lickness with On.net. I'm here with Daryl Miller. We're talking about Microsoft Graph, which is a gateway to pretty much the universe, if you will.
Absolutely. Yes, if you want to get access to your data, it's the place to go.
Sounds great. Check out the show. We'll give you more details then. Hello and welcome to another episode of On.net. My name is Jeremy Lickness, and today we're going to talk about Microsoft Graph. I'm here with Daryl Miller. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Daryl, tell us a little bit about what you do with Microsoft and what team you're on, et cetera.
So I'm on the Microsoft Graph Developer Experience team, so I'm a program manager on that team.
Okay.
As of just this year.
Great. And that's the topic of our show today is Microsoft Graph. So tell me, what is Microsoft Graph?
So Microsoft Graph is a large HTTP API. Well, technically, it's not exactly an API. It really is an API gateway to a lot of back-end services. So many of the Microsoft 365 APIs are surfaced through the Microsoft Graph. There are Azure APIs that are surfaced through the Graph. And now we're starting to onboard a bunch of functionality from Windows services also onto the Microsoft Graph. So it's a kind of one-stop shop where if you want to make requests and get data, specifically data about you and your organization, you can get that through calls to the Microsoft Graph.
Okay, and just to clarify, I know some people, there's a lot of overloaded terms, graph, GraphQL for graph query language. So when we're talking about graph, we're not talking about the graph query language specifically, but more a graph of navigating through entities, objects, service calls, what have you.
Absolutely. It's not GraphQL at all, but it has similar type of characteristics. In actual fact, the Microsoft Graph follows a lot of the conventions of OData. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with OData. So a lot of the conventions for making requests, for selecting subsets of things, for being able to navigate to other entities. A lot of those conventions are carried over from OData, although it is not a strict OData protocol-based service. It does use a lot of those conventions.
Okay, great. Is there a way I can look into and get started with Graph?
Absolutely.
What it's about?
So the home page, the starting page, is just graph.microsoft.com. And this is our landing page of where you can find all kinds of information about the graph. Some of the really cool stuff is like you're sort of trying to decide, well, why should I care, right? What can this do for me? And we have a whole bunch of scenarios here with regards to onboarding users within our organization. You know that process where you've been hired by an organization and you've got to do a lot of provisioning of a whole bunch of different things, maybe security accounts, mailing lists. We talk about the different things that you could do to automate those workflows here on the site. We also talk about integrating with Excel. You can actually update, manipulate, create Excel files directly through the graph that live in either SharePoint or OneDrive, managing employee profiles. And now, more recently, it was announced at Ignite, we GA'd the capability to access all of the security alerts. So we're now pulling in a lot of the security alerts that are across Azure, and you can access them through a simple HTTP API directly from here. If you keep scrolling down in this site, you can see sort of here the different services, Intune, Outlook, OneDrive, OneNote, SharePoint, and this isn't exhaustive of all the services that are behind the Graph API, and the services that are being that are available are growing all of the time. And we support a wide range of languages, either via specific SDKs for C#, Java, JavaScript, PHP. We have a preview of iOS. We have a Ruby SDK. And we also have a ton of samples and training documentation in order to help you get started. So here's really a great kind of landing page that you can go and start to find out more about the graph.
So when I'm looking at all those different services, you know, Office 365, Outlook, OneDrive, et cetera, so this is something that, as opposed to grabbing, for example, OneDrive-specific SDK
yep.
or set of services, this is sort of a unified gateway that I can use to access all these different resources and maybe even orchestrate transactions that go between different assets in my organization, if you will?
Yeah, and this is why we're in the developer experience team, insofar as we're trying to just make the experience much better. One place to go and deal with authentication, one set of SDKs to deal with, one set of conventions across all these different services that are produced by many, many teams across Microsoft. And as the services actually come on board to the Graph, they go through a review board process where we sit down with the teams and we talk about, oh, look, you called that thing a slightly different name than what other teams have called it. And, oh, you've created another enum type for this that some other team already created that, so let's not create a duplicate. So it's all about, like, taking all the rough edges off working with APIs so it's not death by a thousand cuts.
So I have some consistency, and if I've worked with one set of data when I'm doing something else in Graph, that should be familiar to me if I'm working with that similar set of attributes or properties. Or
yes, and on top of that, we get to define a lot of common capabilities, like being able to do what we call delta queries. So you can say, well, go and get me the messages that I've received in my inbox since the last time that I asked you for it. We have a whole webhook notification mechanism so you can listen for changes. Tell me when somebody is added to this security group and you can get a webhook callback. So the Graph has those kind of cross-cutting features that are available at many different points within the Graph services also.
So it's not just a set of APIs that I can call. It manages a little bit of state, remembers what I looked at before. It has callbacks into my system.
Yep.
So, you know, we've talked a little bit about concepts. Is there a way to drill down the next level and sort of see it in action?
We certainly can. Let's just do it simple. The simpler, the better for me. So just let's do a console application.
Okay.
So I'm going to fire up Visual Studio and create a new project here in Visual Studio. And we'll use .NET Core. You can use full framework. You can use .NET Core, where .NET standard 1.3, so on .NET.
So this is great because of that support. Whatever I build here is going to be able to run on Windows, Linux, Mac OS, basically wherever I want to.
On mobile and Xamarin, so we can mobile support. Yep,
great.
Whatever you want to do. So we have our dead simple console app, and I always like to make sure that it actually works before I do anything. Just so that I don't blame myself for what I typed. And we have a running console app. Excellent.
Hello World. It's my favorite application to write. After that, everything gets a lot more complicated.
Well, so if we want to start working the Graph, we were going to use our SDK. But really, when I say SDK, it's just a NuGet package.
Okay.
So we go over to dependencies. We say manage NuGet packages. Let's click over onto Browse over here, and we're going to say Microsoft.graph. Now remember the dot. It's a little picky if you don't say dot.
Right. It's a little bit of a sensitive search, if you will.
That's true. Yep. So there are two main packages. There's Core and Graph. We actually code-gen a bunch of the model types and what we call request builders for the Fluent interface. So they live in the Core. They live in the Microsoft Graph SDK, which takes a dependency on the Core stuff, which has all the cross-workload type capabilities. So really, you just need to take a dependency on that package, and it will pull in the other one. Latest stable is 1.12. There's actually a 1.13 preview that's available also, and that should be coming out to become GA within the next couple of days.
Okay.
We're starting to try and get a real regular cadence. Because as I say, there's new capabilities being added into the Graph all the time.
And what is the cadence right now? Is it closer to monthly, quarterly, yearly?
We're targeting.
Not to lock you into a calendar.
we're trying to get to monthly.
Okay.
It's been kind of quarterly the last little while.
Okay.
We've got a lot of kind of CI processes that we've been building up and mechanisms where we're pulling that metadata and doing the code gen. There was a lot of manual steps before, so we've got that all cleaned up. So now, literally what happens on a Tuesday morning when the metadata gets pushed onto the Graph, we trigger our CI process and it does a PR against across all of our different languages, and there's the changes that are gonna go into the next release of the SDK, yes.
Good DevOps to the rescue.
We're trying to get there. So I have taken a dependency on that package. Now I can go and create myself a client. new graph service client. And let's pull in that namespace.
So by the way, one of the most time-saving features I think that was added in Visual Studio is pulling in the usings automatically.
Yes. It's got a red squiggly on there. We're going to ignore that red squiggly just for a moment, and we're going to move on. So we'll come back to it in a moment. So when I hit dot on that client, you'll start to see device management, devices, directory objects. These are all kinds of capabilities that are sort of organization-wide. Usually where people want to go is to me, because the graph is, a lot of it is about my data, as in the user who's signed in, who's running your application. You get delegated authority, so your app can access the data that belongs to a particular user.
Okay.
So if we look here, we've got the calendar view, we've got change password, so we've got functions as well as data that are available here. Drives to go and get your OneDrive data. This is how you can go and manipulate Excel files and access your Word documents here. Events from your calendar, all kinds of information that is available. Insights, if you've ever played with Delve and you see that list of trending documents of the people around you who are working on those documents, you can get those insights directly through this API. So we're going to make a call to messages. We're going to go and look at our inbox. So we have this messages entity that we're referencing. We want to make a request to it. So we do dot request. And then the simplest thing is I can just say, oh, I'm going to do get on that thing. And what that's going to do is it's going to return to me a list of messages. Well, technically it's not, because it's an async call. So really you need to do an await on that. So I'm going to cheat. Never tell anybody to do this in a real application, but I'm going to put
the
dot result.
Blocking dot result.
That's right. I actually went and tried, like, can we actually do async on main in core yet? But it didn't work for me. So hopefully one day we can do async main. So I would be able to run this now, except for the fact, and it would go and get my mailbox messages, except Graph Service Client's unhappy. So why is Graph Service Client unhappy? If we look at its constructor, it needs an authentication provider. Because security is paramount, right? We need to prove who you are, because I don't want anybody accessing my messages. So the absolute easiest thing because of time, I'm going to use what we call the delegated authentication provider, which is a glorified name for here's an action that's going to give you a token.
Okay.
I pass a request message into it. Oh, IntelliSense is wonderful sometimes, and then sometimes it's not. Okay, request. And this is just an HTTP request message. And we're going to set the header, the authorization header, with a new authentication header value, this one. But let's make it a little shorter. Bring in that namespace. And it has a bearer. Now, obviously, this is not what you would do in a real application. You need an authentication provider, or you need to provide code here that would go out and make the request to go get to authorize you, to go get the token, to pop up a dialog. And you can use any OAuth 2 provider. It's just a standard OAuth 2 flow against the graph. And identity provide MSAL.
Okay.
Or ADAL. You can use either of those libraries here. We have a library coming up soon where we will have a whole bunch of authentication providers for you. So if you want to do device code flow, or you want to do username password or Windows Auth, we'll give you a set of providers and you'll just be able to plug that in here.
Okay. We're keeping it simple though, putting a token in the header and we're done.
Right. The thing is, we've got to get a token. So we're going to cheat again. We're going to go to, actually, we can go back up to the Microsoft Graph homepage, and on the top of here is a tool called Graph Explorer. Now, Graph Explorer is just an interactive way of working with the graph and trying out different things and finding what information is available. But handily, it has a sign-in process. So I'm going to sign in with my own personal Office 365 account here. If you don't happen to have one, you can go to aka.ms/officedev, and you can get a developer subscription there. Or if you have MSDN, you get an Office license along with that.
Okay.
So I've now signed in here. I'm going to hit the magic F12 and pull up developer tools here. and I'm going to ask very nicely and say token please, and it's going to give me a token.
Nice.
I have to copy all of it though. There we go.
Token please.
Token,
I have to
please.
Remember that.
Should always be polite to our software. You never know when it's going to not work for us. Okay.
Is it closed off? Yeah.
I think I put the double quotes at the end. Let me make sure. Yep. Put the double quotes first. Okay. So we're going to go off and get messages here. Although I could end up with an absolute ton of messages. So how about we just limit that to just the top 10, right? So we don't end up with too much stuff. And if we want to actually see some results here, let's just go through this collection and write something out to the console so we can actually see it. Item dot, how about the subject? And the date it was sent date time. Okay. Say a little prayer to the demo gods.
Yeah, I'm still seeing a red squiggly under Gacinta.
Yeah, you know why? Because going and getting an authentication token is potentially a long-running operation. So that action is actually async.
There we go.
And that will now turn to green, telling me, hey, you're not doing an
await
in there.
You're not inside an async method, sure. Yeah. All right. So that was pretty straightforward, pulling in the package, adding some authentication. And now we're going to get to see all your email messages.
Yeah, that's right, which is always a dangerous thing to do, right? Dear BMW, your secret PIN number is... Luckily, I don't have a BMW, so we're all good there. So there you go. I've just pulled my email threat messages directly from my Office 365 account. Now, I mean, one of the values of the SDK is because we're trying to make it easier to construct these requests. So there's a bunch of other things that I can do. I mean, I'm pulling the entire message object there, but then I'm only writing out a couple of properties. It would be nice if I can just say, well, I only want some of that information. So I have a select concept. It's a little bit like link, but I could put a comma delimited list, but that would really kind of be sad if I had to do that. How about we just use a little lambda expression here and we create a new anonymous object and we say, well, I only want the subject and the sent date time.
Now, when you do this, if I look at the wire, it's going to parse this request, understand what you want, and make that request over the wire. So it's not just a question of what's filtered to print, it's a question of what comes down from that API call behind the scenes.
Well, this request builder concept, this Fluent request builder, will construct that HTTP request and create all of that select information is just going to go into the URI.
Okay.
And then it will go over the wire as a URI, and the backend will know what to do and just return me a subset of those results.
Nice.
And there's a bunch of other things I can do. For example, let's say I want to also get the attachments. I don't want to go back multiple times for each email and go and get the attachments. So I can also say expand and include the attachments in it. So this is a little bit like what GraphQL does in the way you describe the shape of the object that you want to return back. I'm saying, well, I don't want just want the message. I also want the attachments that belong to the message.
Okay.
And I can actually further filter that and say, well, only bring back the ones where has attachments equals true. Now, that unfortunately is text-based, and we need to do some work on making that strongly typed. But that will now allow me to return back just a smaller set of messages and only bring back the messages that have attachments. And it will actually bring me back the attachment results. So we should see a different set of messages that are returned here. And if we actually went and looked at that object model, we would see that there are attachments associated to those things.
Nice.
Now, it's not just about read. We can also write. So we can easily do client.me.sendmail.
What could go wrong here?
So sendMail takes a parameter, which needs to be a message object. So we're going to go and create ourselves a message object in a moment. And then the same process again. We create ourselves a request. And in this case, because it's an unsafe operation, we use a post method in order to send that. Now we need to create a message object. And we have a strongly typed thing. I'm not going to make you wait and watch me type that message structure here. So I have it over here so I can just copy it over. And we will paste in that message. Oh, and I called it my message. Here, and we don't need to loop through these results anymore.
And then it's wanting you to pull in, I think, system.generic or collection generic.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. All right.
And so I'm sending an email from my personal account to my company account. And if all goes well, I go load up my email client and I go look at my personal and look in sent items, I should see there you go, hey.on.net, it's there. And if we do a little refresh, it did send it. We saw it sent.
Right.
Momentarily, it should appear in here. So while we're waiting for it to appear, let me just talk about a couple of the things that are really important for people working with SDKs. Sometimes people, when they work with SDKs, it's kind of a wrapper around making those HTTP calls. And people are often familiar with the native library of how to make those calls. So they use the SDK, and then they kind of run into brick walls and say, but this thing isn't supported. I want to put my own custom headers in here. I want to do something special with the response. And they sometimes, like if the SDK doesn't support it, they're like, I'll just do it myself and throw it away. What we want to make sure with this SDK is that there's opportunities to kind of peel away the layers at every step of the way. So if you go back to here where we created that request, you can then say get HTTP request message here. And we will return, we will construct that HTTP request message.
And then I can manipulate it.
And then you can manipulate it. And then you can just create your own HTTP client library like this, HTTP client, new HTTP client, and just send that request, .send async.
With the request, that's
with
nice.
The request. I've got to actually pull that in. And so now you send the request off. And you say, but hold on a second, though. I've just newed up a new HTTP client, though. What about all the authentication mechanisms that's built into the SDK? What about the rate limiting capabilities we have there? And we want to build caching layer. There's a whole bunch of cross-cutting concerns that we are building into the SDK. If I new up a new HTTP client, I'm going to lose that capability. Well, this is why we are playing around prototyping a graph client factory, where you say create client, and we'll pre-build you an HTTP client with all those pieces of middleware already in there. So then you will still get all the cross-cutting concern goodness. And then you can take that response back, and then you can still use our regular deserializer and our regular error handling. So at every step of the way, we want people to be able to just kind of peel off a layer and get under the covers and do their own thing, and then going back to being able to use the rest of our SDK goodness.
Is there an extensible model here? So we were looking at releases. Let's say that one comes 5 months from now. But there's a new service that's being onboarded into Graph in the interim. So the SDK is not available. But I'm assuming that there's a convention, a set of API endpoints that I can call. And I could, for example, use this factory to get the client,
yep,
change the URI,
yep,
and still access that service.
Yep, you still should be able to use all of our regular cross-cutting things. The only thing you wouldn't have necessarily are the models and the actual request builder. But having said that, all of Graph mainly is on version 1.0. We're a little bit different than the way Azure, where Azure versions all of the services, the Azure Management APIs, are all versioned independently.
Sure.
Graph, all the services are all versioned together. There's a V1 of the API. And if you actually go and look in the docs and we scroll down to the reference things, because the docs are now on docs.microsoft.com, we have the V1 reference, but we also have the beta reference. So there's kind of the GA stuff, and then there's the stuff that's coming. And if beta stuff can make it into V1 without being a breaking change, it will migrate there. And we're getting very close to being able to start shipping a set of beta SDKs too. So you'll have the full set of models in order to play around with stuff that's going to come. And then when it moves into V1, those types and those request builders will automatically appear in the V1 SDKs.
Nice. And this actually answers the next question I was going to ask, which is where the documentation is. Sounds like there's a lot to graph to navigate, and we've got it on our centralized docs.microsoft.com site.
Yep, we just moved there recently, and it's great now because you can just go into here and using this filter here, if you want to find out about send mail, which I think you do send mail, immediately it'll pull up, here's the reference for it. When you're setting up security, you're going to need to know what scopes to use to be able to make those calls. So that information is all here, and we show the requests. And we're working, hopefully very soon, we'll actually have code snippets in here. So we have at the moment the HTTP requests, but you should be able to see soon C# snippets and other language snippets in here as well.
Nice.
It's all coming soon.
Great. All coming soon.
That's right.
So I'm thinking we talked about Office, Azure integrations, and I'm assuming you just refer to the docs. It'll continue to update what entities and objects you have access to.
Yes.
We saw a huge list of SDKs. That's pretty exciting. So pretty much any platform you want to develop on, this is available. And you said there are some providers coming out as well. So we've got some baked-in support right now for some things like Active Directory, of course. But there will be other provider models that we can tap into.
Well, there'll be providers for different scenarios of auth, because there's all the different auth flows.
Sure.
And like if you're on Xamarin, the way the UI works is a little bit different. If you're trying to do a plugin for text-based things, you want to use the device code flow. So there's a bunch of different scenarios, and we'll have authentication providers, which really are just wrappers around msal.net, which is the identity authentication library. We're not doing
sure.
the heavy lifting. We're just adapting those identity libraries to the Microsoft Graph.
Okay, sounds great. Anything else we wanted to touch on before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly. In the time that we had.
That sounds great. We will get all of the links that we discussed about on the show, post it to the show notes. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us Microsoft Graph. Looks very incredible.
Thanks for having me.